All right, let's go. All right. Let's talk about the Leafs. Tim. They outshot. I know everybody's down on them, but they outshot the team. What was it?
36-24.
36-24. That's pretty good. Walking right into Boston and outshooting them.
So what are you saying with that, though? Are you saying that the problem might be the goalie then?
I would say it's the goaltender.
So would you think about switching if you were the coach or not?
I don't know. I don't get paid for that anymore.
You don't make those decisions
no,
anymore.
I would leave him in there. He doesn't have two bad games in a row.
No.
Man.
The Leafs have been, like, they've given up 27 goals in their last six games.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but there were teams that didn't really matter.
Yeah, and they were kind of like trying to get Matthews his goals and all
you
that.
You know what bothers me? They were such a focused on Matthews getting 70 goals. I might have thrown them off a little. When you walk into Boston and outshoot Boston in Boston, you know you're playing pretty good.
Yeah, like we were saying last night. At the end of the game, if you went to Keefe at the start of the game and said, would you be happy in the first game of the playoffs, you'd outshoot the Bruins 36-24? You'd probably say, yeah, I'd really be happy.
Yeah.
But you'd lose 5-1, though.
Yeah, but what about all the goalposts being hit?
Yeah.
I mean, the score.
How many goalposts were hit last night?
Well, the Bruins hit at least four.
Yeah.
And I think the Leafs hit two.
Yeah. Anyhow, I'm looking forward to the Leafs come bouncing back .
Like you said, they either have to get a split, and if they don't get a split, well, then they won there too, then you got to use their...
You got to win one game in Boston, and that was a big game.
So you were kind of, we asked your dad throughout the season, did you think Matthews was going to get 70? And you kind of said, he'll get close, but he won't get it. And you were right by one goal.
You called it.
Well, when you get 70, you know, you get 69 goals. I mean, you're pretty close.
Right. And then he'll get 52 next year. They'll say, gee, he had a bad year.
He'd be like Phil. Like Phil said, I got 76 goals, and then I got 67 goals or something. You really had a bad year last year. You had a bad year, 67 goals.
Yeah, he went from 72 to 63.
Something like that.
He had a bad year. But you were saying that even though the Bruins won 5-1, you don't think they played that well, did they?
I don't think the Bruins played that good. If I was that coach... I don't think they played that good. I really don't. I don't think the Bruins played to their potential, and I don't think I thought the Leafs played to their potential.
Oiler Mike has a question from X, and he says, Grapes, in the last game of the season between the Oilers and the Avs, the Oilers didn't dress their stars, and the Avs had a full lineup. Which do you think is better, sitting star players or playing a full team? And by the way, the Avs won 5-1.
I always had, even John Rattel, I don't know, how old was John Rattel? In his 30s, anyhow.
Late 30s, yeah.
Yeah. I always had them come down, fix their sticks, get out, and I never broke their routine. And evidently it was pretty good in the playoffs. I never broke their routine. They fix their sticks, they get have their breakfast in the morning, and have their steak in the afternoon. And I always dressed, and you know what, I hate to think of it this way, but I used to think about if I had brought you to see Rattel and Park and guys like that, and they didn't dress, I would be ticked off.
Right. I mean, can you imagine, like, if the Avalanche do Sydney what the Leafs do, like, the prices go with the team they play.
That's
so,
right.
So the Oilers would have been the top price because you want to see McDavid and Draisaitl, so you play top money, and then they don't dress those guys just for the sake of not dressing them.
Jesus, I'd be angry.
That would tick me off.
Yeah,
that would tick me off.
Well, we'll see how it works.
The
Oilers.
Well, if they get that many shots again.
Yeah, and it was funny you talk about shots. The Islanders lost to the Hurricanes last night or yesterday afternoon, and they outshot them. So the two visiting teams significantly outshot the home team and lost.
Yeah. The guys that count the shots are from the home team, usually.
Because they don't want that to be shown, as we all know. They sort of
Even find them, the shots in the paper today.
No, they don't. They have all these analytics, but they don't have the shots on net.
Or I didn't see it anyhow.
Dad and Sydney playoffs are here, and there's never been a better time to bet on your favorite Canadian team with your favorite Canadian sport book, NorthStarBets.com. They're proudly Canadian and one of the best places to play in Canada. North Star Bets has everything you're looking for, a sports book with built-in insight and analysis, slots, live dealer tables, and exceptional customer service. So get into the playoffs now at NorthStarBets.com, and it's not available in Ontario.
Okay, Dad, as we know, the playoffs have started, and we want your predictions and all that. So let's start what I think is going to be the hardest to predict, Avalanche and Winnipeg.
Well, I hate to do this to the Winnipeg fans because they're the best fans in the world as far as I'm concerned. And I will pick the Avalanche on that one. I'm sorry to say I have to pick the Avalanche on that one. And be interesting to watch, though.
Here's the thing I don't get, like, with betting, okay? So the Avalanche are favored pretty significantly. They're favored to win. But the Jets have more wins, more points.
Yeah.
They haven't lost to them all season. The last time they played, they hammered them 7-0. So why would they be...
Why you're asking me? McKinnon. I think he'll really turn it on. I really do.
So it's almost like McKinnon versus Hellebuck.
Yeah. I never thought of that.
Okay, Dad, I'll give you an easy one. Canucks versus Predators, who's going to win?
Well, I Canucks, and I picked Talkin. Did I ever tell you this story? If I didn't tell you the story, I'm going to tell you again. I like the Canucks in this one, and I'll tell you about Talkin, what kind of a guy he is. I mean, he was a tough cookie. Remember that? Remember him and...
Marty McSorley almost got into a fight in the Grapevine Bar during the show.
What was that?
Well, what happened was we were interviewing... we did two shows a night at the bar in Hamilton on the Grapevine shows. And so Marty McSorley and Rick Tocchet were there. And Marty McSorley... We did Rick Tocchet first.
Yeah.
So you were sitting, and Marty McSorley was in the crowd, and he was sitting up front. We were getting ready, and Tommy Knight was putting on your microphone and everything, and you leaned over to talk it, and you said, "Have you and Marty ever gone?" Yeah. And
he was looking.
And Tocchet said, "No, we have Brownies, Dave Brown, to take care of him." And Marty goes, "What? What was that? What was that?" And so... Show's over, so I take them in the back into the kitchen just to kind of get them away and explain what's going on. And they're just staring daggers at each other. And
they were going at each other.
Well, I think...
I remember...
Yeah, because Tocchet said something to the effect of, you know, Marty, he says, I played like 3 years against you. I've never seen you in my face.
Yeah.
And I think Marty said, he goes, well, I haven't seen you in mine. What, you have an anchor tied to your ass? And they caught themselves and they left and they went outside. So I don't know. I should look in to see if they ever fought.
See if you got that.
I'll look it up on hockeyfights.com. They have that. So
anyhow, I'm picking the Canucks on that one. And I tell you what kind of a guy Tocchet is. You put half the team in one corner and half the team in the other corner, and you pass the puck to the guy at the blue line, and then he hits you, and then you go in and score. Anyhow, that's
the drill.
That's the drill. And he was making, and I think it was and it was Jagger that was making fun of the guy. He was just fooling around. And Tocchet says, "Hey, look, you're getting paid big dough."
Yeah, Jagger was making fun of the penalty. He's not making any money.
Yeah, he wasn't making much money. He says, "I want you to cut it out," and he went down and he went out down the other end and he started again and he knocked the guy cold. You know who it was? It was Jagger. I mean, you knocked Jagger cold. Well, I don't know if he was cold or not, but he nailed him pretty good. Yeah. Anyhow, I can't believe that Tocchet would lose.
Okay, Dad, the next one, Edmonton and L.A. Well, I hope you say the Canadian team, please.
No. Oh, you know, I am picking Edmonton on this one. They have an axe to grind. They get put out pretty easy. Anyhow, I'll pick the Edmonton on that one.
Yeah, it was amazing that they are where they are. Because remember at the beginning of the season, they were 7-13. Like everybody was saying, what's going on? And McDavid wasn't scoring.
Yeah, and he switched the coaches. And
you know, one thing that I was just kind of looking at the stats. You know who has the most points against the Oilers this year for LA? It's Quinton Byfield. Remember?
We went out to St. Andrews College, was it?
Yeah, to see him play.
Yeah, and boy, were they steep. Remember how steep that?
Yeah, St. Andrews College was. It's like a prep school in Toronto here, and it's like something right out of like an 80s. Teen movie. Like, you can't believe how nice it is.
Remember the rocks? I couldn't get over the rocks. They're all painted white.
White. And it just, there wasn't a blade. So it was a beautiful rink. One of the nicest rinks that we've been in.
In fact, it was the nicest rink we were ever in.
Yeah. So we were watching Quinton Byfield, and he was kind of like.
He was pretty good.
Pretty good. And then third period, I don't know if somebody told them that you were up there, but the third period.
Holy dynamite. Remember you go down that side?
He let a shot go. Like, I swear, it moved the net. Like, it lifted the net right up off the pegs.
So you're saying it's a prep school. So who did they play against that the competition would be there and for you to even scout them? Like, I'm a little confused how that worked.
They would have played like other prep schools and other schools. So. So he was just so, exceptional player.
He was a big guy, too.
Yeah, he was really big. So he
doesn't look too big, though, on Kings, though.
But surprisingly, like, you know, you don't, that's unfortunate. Like, he goes to L.A. and you don't hear about him anymore, right?
You hate
to say it.
Yeah, Byfield. Who are you talking about?
Yeah, so he's from the Toronto area, and he had 6 points against the Oilers this year. So you're picking the Oilers.
Picking the Oilers, yep. And
so speaking of McDavid, Dad, Brian99, so it must be a Gretzky fan, says, hey, Coach, if you were Jim Hiller, who's the Kings coach, in case you don't know, how would you try to check Connor McDavid in the playoffs?
I remember they tried to do that with Bobby one time. Bobby just stood there. He just stood at the blue line. The guy stood beside him.
So wouldn't that be hard to check a defenseman?
Well, I don't know how they'd ever check a defenseman, but they tried to anyhow, and Bobby just stood at the blue line. I don't know how you check McDavid.
If you're a coach, like you never kind of, like, except for Guy, like you had Marcotte on Guy, but he didn't tell the other guys.
No, boy, that Guy was really something. Boy, I remember one time, this actually happened. I thought he reached behind. And he touched the puck with his left hand, and the puck come between his legs and landed right on his stick. Boy, he was something. He was something, that Guy Lafleur.
Okay, Dad, here's another question from Betty Blue and White from Facebook. And she wants to know, when you're not watching hockey on TV, what do you watch? And what is your favorite movie and book?
Well, our favorite movie that we watch over and over and over and over again is Tombstone.
Right.
But my favorite movie is Lawrence of Arabia. That's my favorite movie.
So, but when you're not watching Tombstone on TV, what are you watching on TV? And you're not watching hockey.
I can't think of any.
You only watch hockey.
I only watch hockey.
No, I thought you were big on the History Channel.
No, I only go... I only watch hockey as much as I can.
And the Blue Jays.
Oh, Blue Jays. I am a Blue Jay fan from a word go.
But that's amazing that you can go from hockey to baseball. Oh. I mean, baseball to me is so boring.
Well, and, not me. I watch it right to the very end. I think that if they're losing 8-0, I still think they're going to win.
What do you think of the new behind the plate? I just think it looks awful. Like if you haven't seen it, they've done $250 million
I don't care what they did. But I just don't. I'm glad they changed the back of that.
Yeah, I don't. I think it looks awful though. It looks like some tacked up fake brick wall in the back. I mean, it just
looks sort of amateurish.
It does. It looks like
it looks really amateurish.
No, they have that there in the Yankee Stadium, and that's not too bad.
No, Yankee Stadium. You have the fans in the back. Up.
Well, I still think they look like the
speaking of the Yankees, I just I was gone. I was on vacation for a bit. My wife and I went to China for a while. You cannot believe everybody wearing New York Yankee stuff.
Is that right?
Yeah. Like I would say I must have saw people with Yankee hats or Yankee sweaters. I bet you I saw at least two or three dozen a day walking around. Kidding. And I mean, not in like downtown Shanghai, which is like we were way out in the boonies. And walking around, like, oh, what is this with the New York Yankee stuff? I, you know, walk up and say, name two New York Yankees. Like,
well, New York.
It is. It's they're the evil empire, right? Yeah. Everybody likes the New York Yankees.
And everybody likes the evil empire. Okay.
And okay, Dad, and what book? What's your favorite book that you've read? Mm. And you read a lot. You're a lot.
Well, my favorite book was Lawrence of Arabia again, Seven Pillars of Wisdom.
Oh, there was a book? Is that what you're supposed to say before a movie?
I try to read that book, Dad.
No, you have to get that, through.
It's like a textbook.
It's thick.
It's just he goes into, I know we're getting off topic here, people, but like he'll go 5-6 pages describing the sand in the desert.
Well, he does that on purpose.
And what purpose would that be?
He wants to know if you're serious about reading.
I think so.
Yeah, if you can hang in for 7 pages.
If you can hang in for about 4 or 5 chapters of that book.
The movie was an epic, too. How long was the friggin' movie? Was four?
Three and a half.
You brought it to me. I was about 6 years old.
It's a beautiful Lawrence of Arabia. I'm sure you've all seen it. And it is beautiful. Book and movie.
But remember that we went to London and we went into the British War Museum.
Oh, yeah.
And we were walking around and I told the story once before, but I'll tell it again. So we're going to go to the British, we're in London, England, and we're going to go to the British War Museum. So I'm going to meet Dad down at the lobby and I'm dressed nice, but casual, like business casual, right? I got comfortable shoes on and you came down the whole 9 yards with your patent leather shoes. I said, Dad, I said, we're going to be, I know you, you're going to be in this museum. We're going to be there 8 hours today. And I said, why don't you go up and like relax? Nobody, and you go, well, somebody, you know, sees, I said, Dad, you're in England. Nobody's going to notice you. And you know, I'm going to get dressed. I says, Dad, I said, your feet are going to be hurting. You're going to want to go. Why don't you go up? So we get into this kind of argument in the hall. So we're waiting to get a cab to go to the museum and one of the big black cabs pull up. And the guy gets out. He goes, hey, Don Cherry, guess where I'm from? Wolf Island.
Yeah, and I turned to you and I said, you see, Tim?
See, yeah, that's true. And then we went to the British War Museum and, you know, kind of looking. You got two of your favorites, Nelson and T.E. Lawrence.
Well, they had a big thing on Nelson.
Big thing on Nelson. But we couldn't find anything on T.E. Lawrence, which may be one of their greatest minds in military. And then we turned the corner, and it had just a small little display.
Small thing, and it had the rifle. And I knew all about the rifle. It had, you know, it was this
King
was
Faisal gave him, yeah.
And anyhow, I couldn't believe it. I'm looking at the rifle there, and nobody else was looking at it. I guess time changes.
Yeah, but you... The next museum we went to, you wore better shoes.
I wore better shoes. Oh, my feet were killing me.
You wouldn't say a word, I'm sure.
Oh, my feet were killing me.